Hello, welcome back. This is the FPL Experiment Podcast. We're three mates. At the start of the season, we set ourselves a target to finish in the top 50,000 in FPL. We're going to discuss game week 19. We're going to talk about the double game week that just went and also make some plans too for the game week coming up, game week 20. So right at the start of this show, it's probably a good thing to point out that last night on Zoom, we, for one of our friends' birthdays, did a wine tasting event. May be a struggle today. You may get several long pauses while we try to put sentences together. Greg, how are you feeling?
Hungover. Very hungover.
You look pretty fresh, though, in your white kind of new top that you're wearing.
Yeah, I went for a walk and I feel real good for it, actually. Like, if I hadn't done that walk and then come straight onto this, I would have been horrendous.
Nick, how are you?
Well, I had the same idea as Greg. I thought, go for a walk, clear my head. But I decided to go to the butchers, which turned out to be a terrible idea because butchers on a hangover is horrendous. And there was some chap in there talking to me about haggis. I was like, this is not what I need right now. But yeah, apart from that, I'm all good.
I don't know if this is the time to do it, but I've got no filter because of this hangover. So I'm just going to do it now. You know, Nick, you were talking, and Greg as well, about those Jamie Oliver naan breads with the yogurt.
Yeah.
I made those last night, went down an absolute storm.
Everyone should try making them.
Easy to make, quite fun to make, knocking the dough about. And that garlic butter on the top with all the herbs in. Oh, mate.
Money. I think it's worth noting as well that, Ad, you've been making a bit of a play recently for Mr. Foodie of the group. Like, what you've been cooking recently, off the charts.
It's Nick's influence. Nick's got me back into food.
I'm just excited for Adam's Supper Club. When this is all over, I'm very excited to see what you're going to knock up the experiment boys.
Adam's Supper Club. That's potentially a new podcast right there.
Can I come on? Sounds a bit too posh for you, mate.
What do you want to call it?
Grubhub.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. Right. So this week has been a really interesting week for us because of the double game week, but also we were asked to write some words for the Fantasy Football Scout to review our performance for the season so far. I've actually found that really useful, although I don't know. I've not checked in the last 24 hours, but I'm not sure it's been printed. So maybe it wasn't useful for anyone else. Maybe they didn't choose to use our words. But we were kind of having to think about our worst decision, our best decision of the season, the plans that we're going to have for the remainder of the campaign. The big takeaway for me was when we were talking back and forth about what mistakes we made in our worst decisions. And for me, it was around captaincy, where we've probably made our biggest mistakes, because it comes right at the end of the podcast. Sometimes I'm quite eager to just go and edit the podcast. You guys probably are sick of hearing from me, so you just want to go. You've got other things to do. Nick's not eating for half an hour, so he's probably quite keen to... Sorry, mate. You know, we've kind of plateaued in recent weeks. Our team hasn't really... It's not really been bad in any way, but we just haven't really gained any ground. We're just kind of hovering around the same position. And that's really, I think, because of captaincy. And we've gone for Salah. We went for Vardy 1 week, and that wasn't a great decision when our other players did well. So I guess my takeaway from that article and from the double game week in general is that maybe we just need to have some deeper thinking around our captaincy selection.
I completely agree. I think, you know, we choose it quite flippantly at the end of the episode, as you say, Ad. And I think what we should be doing is spending just as much time thinking about our captain as we do our transfer. Because it's effectively two players. That's what you're getting with a captaincy, right? So we should make sure that we pick the right people.
Greg, what's your takeaway from the game week that's gone?
To not dwell on the past, like game week 19 was a bloody letdown for us, weren't it, boys? And I think we can get all stressed about it, but look, we've got 18 more game weeks to achieve what we want to achieve. Let's get to top 50K. Positive, positive, positive.
Yeah, it really felt like the double game week was a big chance for us to make some jumps. And there are some people in our leagues that we're in that have scored monstrous scores, like Sam and Adam Rolls in our league. I mean, Rolls got 147 points, I think, and has shot up about 300k in the rankings. And we've got 85 points this week. Triple captain KDB, and that didn't really work out. We've actually dropped 30k. So yeah, let's forget that and be positive. That would be nice. Well done to you, Nick, by the way. Nick, 127 points in your personal team this week.
And still going. I've still got Martinez to come. So I'm hoping I can crack 130. That'd be nice.
That'd be lovely. What's your takeaway, Nick, from the last week?
So there's a couple of things for me. I think the big elephant in the room is Liverpool. What do we do with Liverpool? What do we do with Mo? But I think the main thing for me is defenders are sexy picks again. So if last season I told you John Stones would rack up almost 30 points in a double game week, you'd have called me crackers. But I think defenders now, you know, are actually really exciting again. You know, the rate of goal scoring, I had a little look. The rate of goal scoring has reverted now to the mean since the heady days of the start of the season. So across the whole season, there's an average of 28 goals being scored per week. In the last 2 weeks, it's gone down to 20 goals per week. So clean sheets are becoming a bit more run-of-the-mill now. So I think we should have a little look at whether we can get a bit more money into defence, especially with there not being a whole load of decent striker options out there.
It's interesting because all of our conversations that we've had about what we're going to do with our team before this podcast have been about midfield and strikers.
I was literally just thinking that. Jackson, you're crackers, mate.
Anyway, as I said, it wasn't a great game week for us. We didn't have Stones, we didn't have Maddison, we didn't have Antonio, but there's a long time left in this season. We're sat at 250k and we can still get to the top 50k. So let's crack on with it. Let's talk about goalkeepers for this game week. I think our boy looks good, Martinez. Burnley didn't exactly create a lot against Liverpool. We're recording on Saturday, so Villa play tonight, but I think he looks like a great shout, irrespective of the score tonight. I mean, if they get battered by Newcastle, maybe I'll take it away because Newcastle are pretty terrible. But he would be my selection looking this week. I actually think it's quite difficult to pick where the clean sheets are going to come from this week. What were you thinking, Greg, in terms of goalkeepers?
Well, I was just thinking like the safe option across the board for clean sheets these days is Man City. So rather than being boring and running the mill, I'm going to spice it up a little bit. And I've actually chosen Kasper Schmeichel. Back-to-back clean sheets for Leicester. They're on fire right now. DCL's out injured, although apparently there's rumour he's back for the FA Cup, so he might end up playing that game. But I just fancy Leicester to continue their good form against Everton, and he would be my pick.
Yeah, good shout. Did really well during the double game week, so they are looking good. Nick, how about you?
I've gone for the man, the legend, Nick Pope, for Burnley at home to Villa. He was superb versus Liverpool. Two clean sheets in the last four, and the second highest volume of saves in the league behind our man Martinez. So this could be a lively 0-0 with a lot of saves, hopefully.
I saw the FPL General tweet about him the other day, and he said something like, "I miss owning Nick Pope." And there's something about owning Nick Pope which is fun because, yeah, like you said, so good against Liverpool. There was one save that he made, and I think it was the Salah save that he made, which was really infuriating. But what a great stop, because I love the saves where the attacker just looks completely confused about how that didn't go in. Like, he just looked in disbelief. Like, how's that? I think it was probably a bit of frustration as well, because he's had a lot of good chances recently and hasn't scored. But yeah, I really love that. And I love owning Nick Pope. He was great for me last season. One of the only good things about my team, to be fair. He's enjoyable. In terms of defence, Greg, I've kind of agreed with you. I have gone with Leicester because I think their fullbacks have got the ability to pick up clean sheets, but also both Justin and Castagna play so far forwards. I think Justin had a really good chance to score, but Castagna also was in really good positions. So they both look like they could get assists, could score, and will pop up occasionally with clean sheets. So they look great. I think the double City defence is so obvious at the moment, so I'm not going to go there. I've actually, and this is rare because I don't like to do this, Greg, you know I don't like to make you smile. Not only have I agreed with you with Leicester, but I think Leeds defence, based on Newcastle's poor form, which I knew was bad, but I looked today, they failed to score in six of their last seven in all competitions. So although they have had some tough fixtures during that run, they've also played Brentford during that run. They've also played Sheffield United during that run. So, yeah, quite fancy Leeds. I think Dallas, who's in our team, looks like a decent pick this week. How about you, Greg?
Well, like you said, like, defensive god John Stones or Diaz should be in everyone's squad right now. I really wanted to pick Timothy of Castagna, like you said, for all the reasons you've just mentioned, how far forward him and both Justin have been playing. But I've gone for Luke Shaw. And I know, Nick, you've got an issue with his Sunday league physique, but if you put aside your body shaming for a second, he's been really, really good. Just the eye test, how far forward he's getting. Defensively, he's really, really improved. And his stats against Liverpool, they were off the charts. Like 100% of his tackles won. 8 ball recoveries, 2 chances created, 1 big chance created. So I think United got a nice run of games coming up, and he's probably a nice, safe way into that team.
Nick, what have you got to say about that? Defend yourself, you fat shamer.
You know, he has a point. I did make some comments about Luke Shaw in a previous episode, but, you know, I love an out-of-shape looking defender. I mean, look at me. That's been my bread and butter for my whole football career. And he's actually my pick as well, Greg. You'll be interested to learn.
We're colluding again, Jackson.
I think, you know, at a bargain basement price, like he's under 5 million, I think. So I think he could be a really good addition this week. He's really kind of putting in some dangerous balls as well. And United just look a lot more solid. They haven't lost in like 18 games or something ridiculous. So I think he could be really good. Controversial, but I think a Spurs defender could be a good pick as well, because Liverpool don't score anymore. And I think this is the sort of game that Jose is going to relish.
It's interesting that you've kind of come full circle on United, because I know you didn't really fancy them at the back before, Nick, but that's obviously changed, which is interesting. Midfield this week, I think, is so relevant because KDB's out and there are so many options in midfield. Now, I'm going to flip this a bit on its head, because we've already discussed that we will go for potentially one of our options that we're looking at is Gundogan, right? Now, do you think, I'm just going to question that decision a bit, do you think with KDB being out and in his absence that Gundogan could drop a bit deeper, because he might be the guy who would play that deep-lying playmaker role? And do you maybe think then that Foden or Bernardo Silva become better options rather than Gundogan, Greg?
There is an argument for that, but I think even when KDB went off, Gundogan was still doing what he's been doing over the last like 7 game weeks, which was getting on the end of a lot of moves. And now he's on penalties, which does make him a bit more of an attractive proposition for us. But I just think his role slightly changed, and I don't see Pep changing that just because KDB's out. He's really pushed on these last sort of like 10 game weeks. I mean, Gundogan himself said he doesn't even think he's playing the best football of his career for City. Yeah, he thought that was the back end of the 18-19 season. But stats-wise and the numbers he's producing, they're off the charts. You can't look away and ignore that.
I think Gundogan aside, we need a City midfielder. The reason being, West Brom have conceded more goals and more shots than any other team over the last 4. And the numbers are ridiculous, right? So to put it into context, how bad West Brom are, they've conceded 72 shots in 4 games. Wolves are the closest with 41. So they are getting pebble dashed left, right and centre. So if we think Foden will definitely score and his place is more secure now KDB's out, which I think there's a solid case for, I'd like Foden or Gundogan. But I think Gundogan's numbers, have, as Greg said, have just been so good that he's the obvious pick and he's cheaper. And I think he's more nailed to start. But you make a great point, Ad. He may drop back. And then maybe Foden or Mahrez will have a few good game weeks while KDB's out. But I just like the fact that we know he's going to play.
It's really annoying that we owned Gundogan in the 1 week he didn't score as well. The last 7 weeks.
That's just been typical of the last few game weeks for us. Like, we had Cancelo, smashed the bar, had a really good chance. KDB could have easily scored more on the triple captain. I mean, we've had a bit of a bad rub, but you've just got to stick at it, haven't you? I think the Leicester midfielders look great as well. There was some really interesting stuff on Big Man Bakar's Twitter page about a comparison between Harvey Barnes and James Maddison, actually saying that he prefers Harvey Barnes because Harvey Barnes has more shots from inside the box and more touches inside the penalty area, whereas James Maddison is mainly having shots from outside the box. I'm really enjoying your face, Nick, as you struggle with the hangover.
I can barely keep my eyes open.
So, yeah, the Leicester guys look good. Greg, did you have anyone else in midfield? Any other options?
Nah. I think right now, everyone should either consider one of the Man City options because of everything Nick just said about West Brom. And Leicester, you can't ignore their form.
The only other player that kind of caught my eye, and they've got 2 really good fixtures, was Loftus-Cheek. he was good against United, and they played Brighton and West Brom in the next two.
Do you not think he always flatters to deceive, though?
Like, oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, I'm not going to put him in, Greg. I'm just saying, you know, I'm basically just throwing it out there like Nick did with Ampadu a few weeks back. If he gets the points, I'll massively claim this next week. I'll be like, oh, guys, what about my pick of Loftus-Cheek? Wasn't I brilliant? If he does nothing, I just won't mention it. up front, I've seen that Danny Ings is back, so that's interesting. Cavani looked really good against Fulham as well. They play Sheffield United, but I think there's a more obvious pick, but I'll leave it for one of you two. Greg?
Bear with me. Don't shoot me down. I've gone for my boy, Paddy Bamford. I know he's not been great recently, but the last four game weeks, he's still got 20 points. There's a goal and two assists in that. We battered Newcastle 5-2 last time we played them, and if not as if they've turned any corner, and I can't see him causing us too much damage. He also donated £5,000 of his own money to good causes this week, so he's just an all-round good egg, and I want him in my team. Karma, he's going to come back. I reckon God will give him a hat-trick because of that.
Nick, who are you thinking about up front?
Annoyingly, I think Greg's been taking a little peep at my notes again, because I've got Bamford in here. I think I wanted to mention Antonio. You know, he delivered for us as we expected. Two goals, two games. He's got the stats to back it up. He's looking strong. And I think he could do well against Palace. But I think the standout pick, Bamford to come back with a bang. Newcastle in disarray. The fans are on their back. Bruce is under pressure. They've conceded more shots in the box than 75% of the teams in the league over the last 4 weeks. So Bamford could be an incredible pick for this week.
I did think you might go for Antonio. I thought that's where you were going. 2-2. He looks really good. Do you know what? There's some really interesting stats going around about Antonio with Bowen. And apparently when Antonio plays, Bowen scores a lot more goals, essentially. That's basically it. Differentials. Let's have a chat about those. Greg.
Differential of the week.
We could just record it and then I could just play it out on the button. But it's nice to have a bit of live music, isn't it? Because we're not really seeing any at the moment.
The thing that I worry about, right, is that irritates me, but we play it on the podcast. So what our listeners must think, I have no idea.
Interesting. Do you think it might be time to ditch, Nick?
A lower pitch, like
down
maybe?
An octave.
Yeah. I think I prefer that. Maybe it's just I'm just hungover and I'm just being a bit neggy. Sorry, mate. Sorry. I love it, really.
Maybe we could throw it out to people. So if you don't want Greg to do differential of the week anymore in that high-pitched voice, then tweet or message us on Instagram. And if you do, also at FPL experiment. Let's just see what people think. Let's just see what the vibe is like for that to continue.
That's just given FPL Elf just any excuse just to rip me. So brilliant.
You love flirting with Elf on Twitter. Come on. Right. So the differential league table going into the weekend's just gone fixtures. Greg was at the top with 47 points. I had 43, Nick had 17. What a week, Nicholas Jackson. First week that it's happened this season. You've picked a differential.
Oh my God, it only took 19 weeks for me to actually pick someone who got some points. Can't believe it. I was absolutely chuffed to bits. I'm not going to lie. Chuffed.
You and I both went for Antonio, picked up 18 points. Greg, really decent decision as well, went for Barnes. Goal versus Southampton, assist against Chelsea. So Barnes got you 15 points. The league table now looks like this, very close at the top. Greg has 62. I've got 61. Nick has 35. Before we get into our decisions for this game week, who do you think was the highest scoring differential this game week?
20. Stones.
No, because Stones was more than 5% owned.
Madison?
No, this guy got 24 points.
Oh, Pereira.
Yes. Less than 1% owned.
Wow.
Mad, isn't it? Greg, who are you going for this game week?
I feel a bit dirty, but I'm going Gundogan.
Right, he can't be a differential, can he?
That's not. He can't be under 5%.
5.3%.
Wow.
How much?
5.3%.
Yeah, so it's under 5%.
Oh, he's not a differential then, is he?
Yes! It's embarrassing.
We've been playing this game for a long time. I'll go back to Greg in a minute. Nick, who are you thinking about?
So I've gone for Cavani for United versus Sheffield United. 7.8 million, 3% owned. His experience, I think, has really shown over the last few weeks. He seems like a far better option than Martial for Ole at the moment. He's clinical. And I feel like even if he doesn't start, he will come on in the 60th minute and potentially nick a goal. So I think it's a risky pick, but it could be a good one.
It's really annoying because I was also going to go for Cavani and I feel like we can't just go for the same pick 2 weeks in a row as well. So with that in mind, Nick, I am going to go for Lookman.
Ooh, controversial. Not Loftus-Cheek after you've just picked him up?
Yeah, that's strange that you haven't gone for RLC after you've just like...
You really have to go for him now, I think.
No, I don't, Nick. I could go for Cavani if I wanted to. But I won't because, you know, let's make this game more fun. I'm going to go for Lookman because they've got a good fixture. They're playing Brighton. And I think they looked all right, actually, Fulham against Man United. They created quite a lot of chances. So Fulham away at Brighton, why not? Lookman.
They've really turned the corner, haven't they, I think, Fulham? Like they, I don't know what Park has done, but they're a much more solid outfit now. And they've actually got a few good FPL kind of gems there, if you will, in to take a punt.
Greg, who are you going to go for?
Zinchenko, 0.3% owned, 5.5 million. I'm hoping he gets a cheeky assist of some sort, even if it's like a scuff shot like Barnes got last week. Yeah, go on, why not?
Lookman, Cavani, Zinchenko, they are our picks for differentials. I'm surprised it took us so long to make a mistake given the hangovers, but there it is. It was going to happen inevitably at some point. Let's talk about our team. So we've got a couple of issues with our team this week because of injury. Vardy and KDB are out. In a way, actually don't mind that because I think it almost allows us to make a decision. We might have clung on to Vardy and I was a bit unsure. He didn't really seem to be picking up the points. So it's not so much of a bad thing. As I said earlier, game week 19 in the double. We're currently sat on 85 points with one game remaining. Tonight's fixture with Villa. We triple captained KDB. As it stands, we're dropping 30,000 places in the overall ranking. So we're ranked at 250k and we didn't have the big guys this week. We didn't have Madison, Antonio, John Stone. So we've kind of had a bit of a discussion about our team already. But Greg, what are you thinking that we do and what moves do you think we should make and why?
I want Gundogan in for a Man City midfield. That's straight away your KDB replacement. I was quite happy to keep hold of Vardy because given the current run of games that they're going to have, but obviously that's no longer an option. So I think we downgrade Vardy to a Barnes or a Madison, and then that leaves us with, I don't know how much that leaves us with up front, but then we need to look at our striker options.
So you want to take an eight point hit?
Yeah.
We're getting into a hit spiral, mate, and that's a slippery, slippery slope.
We've only got one free transfer anyway. We're going to take a 4 point hit this week unless we keep Vardy in the team.
Right. I think we have to take a -4 because if we don't, we end up having to play five at the back and play double West Ham defence, which is dangerous.
You just said defenders all the rage at the moment.
Yeah, but not with our bench defenders. I think we have to get rid of Vardy. We have to get rid of KDB. So the simple move would be Gundogan or Foden and then either Antonio or Kane. But I think if the money's there, we should spend it on Kane. I can imagine he may well score against Liverpool and he's got a nice fixture the weekend after. So I think I would rather get him in and then maybe the following week we get Antonio.
I'm not interested in taking an 8 point hit. I agree with taking a 4 point hit this week and I agree we get rid of the two injured players. Kane or Antonio were the two players that I would have considered to bring in. The Gundogan Foden thing is really playing on my mind because I'm just because of what I said earlier, I wonder whether Gundogan might drop a bit deeper to play that role because I don't see who else would play that KDB role in the team. I don't see him playing Foden deeper.
The problem is, I've owned Foden in my own team and I know it's a different time, but it's so annoying when he doesn't start. Like to the point where I'd rather just not have that fear of him not starting. He could well play every game now while KDB's out, but I'd rather play it safe, if I'm honest.
Fine. Yeah, it does make sense. I've owned Foden before as well, and there is that element of frustration. Fine. So Gundogan, and then either Kane or Antonio. Greg, what do you think about those two?
I'd rather Kane in my team than Antonio. I don't trust Antonio's hamstrings. And with the quick turnaround of games that are coming at the moment, yes, I know he did back-to-back games and he did very well, but I'd just rather Harry Kane in my team than Antonio.
Fine. Do you trust any part of his legs? Or is it just the hamstrings you don't like?
No, I mean, I like his legs. I mean, they're fantastic to look at.
That's so serious.
Yeah, it was the serious way that you delivered that. That was so good.
Really pondering on it. Yeah, yeah, I really, really like his legs.
Oh, dear. Right, so Gundogan is coming in. Kane is coming into our side. Here is the big moment, the captaincy decision. Greg, what are you thinking around captain and why?
I wasn't being ridiculous when I mentioned this yesterday. I actually think Patrick Bamford is the captain choice this week. And you're shaking your head, but if you look at our past performance against Newcastle, look at how poor Newcastle have been. I can't look beyond Patrick Bamford this week.
you can't look beyond. He's the only person that you can see as a captain.
Yeah. Also, he gave $5,000 of his own money to school this week. So there's like good vibes coming his way.
Nick, I'm actually concerned about what Nick's going to say.
I'm not saying Patrick Bamford, if that's what you're worried about. My first instinct, and I've learned I should go with my gut more this season. My first instinct when I looked at our team was Bruno. However, he doesn't seem to be getting the same numbers. Now Pogba's, you know, become more of a pivotal figure for them. My only other thought was actually, you know, based on all the numbers that I dished out on West Brom earlier on, Gundogan on penalties, I don't think a lot of people go for him. But we need to nail this captain. So I think safe is Bruno. Left field would be Gundogan.
It's potentially Kane. And also Salah loves a goal against Spurs.
Absolutely loves it.
And Spurs love giving Liverpool a penalty. But he has been inconsistent, so it's probably not a sensible move. When I looked at it, I was actually thinking Fernandes. I just gave you everything that was going on in my head there because, as I said, I've not got a filter today. I thought Fernandes, you know, although, like you said, Nick, Pogba being in the team does seem to affect him slightly. He was so close to scoring against Fulham, hit the post.
Yeah.
Had a really good shot from outside of the box, created that Cavani goal. He's still central to everything that they do. All of their scoring moves, he seems to be involved in.
Yeah. And they're due a penalty at some point in the game soon, haven't they? They haven't had one for 3 games, so.
Personally, I think we go Fernandes, and I'm so pleased we're not going for Patrick Bamford.
Bruno captain then, and then who's our vice? Are we thinking Bamford or Gundogan?
I mean, I'd vote Kane.
Let's chat about that off air.
Vice might not be that much of a big discussion
not
to
that
have.
Interesting.
No, also, we can, what's the makeup of our team going to look like? Because we've obviously got the lesser spotted West Ham double at the back, but we want to play Dallas this week.
I think we just bench Kufal.
And play 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Basuma loves it on the bench anyway.
Yeah, he's really good on the bench. Really
he's
good.
Happy there.
So our team will look like this. Martinez in goal, Robertson, Cancelo, Cresswell and Dallas. Salah, Gundogan, Fernandes, Rafinha, Bamford and Kane.
Lovely.
Double leads. Didn't work out for us during the double game week like we planned. Is it going to bang for us against Newcastle? God, that would feel good.
Treble leads, mate. Not
triple
double.
Leads, yeah.
Triple. Oh, God.
It's all right. Like I keep saying, triple leads is fine. They're all so cheap and they play ridiculously attacking football. So also, I think it's the one scenario where you can allow yourself a triple up.
And we're playing away from Elland Road because the pitch is absolutely horrendous at Elland Road at the moment. It's actually been relayed for the next game.
Spurs we don't need to know about this stuff. The grass at Leeds. Oh, God.
We've come to the end of the podcast. We can do a couple of things. We can talk about this weekend's games if you like. We could talk about 50 Cent or we can bin that off. Nick?
50 Cent, yeah, every time. I'm not bothered about football.
I don't come on here for the football chat.
So Spurs-Liverpool, not of any interest.
Nah, sod that, mate. Give me some Fiddy chat.
I mean, yeah, I have been listening to the 50 Cent audiobook again. And it's been pumping me up for the week. The major talking point from this week's listening is about appearances and improving your personal brand.
Okay,
because,
nice.
Because if you don't look after yourself, you don't go to the gym, you don't wear nice clothes, then that means you don't respect yourself. And so why should anyone else respect you?
When are you going to start?
I'm feeling I might start, you know, getting some new threads, maybe start going to the boxing gym like Fiddy.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Although there is a way around it because for his second album, he'd been enjoying tour life a bit too much. So if you look at any of the artwork for his second album, he actually drew his abs on.
So, you've been drinking too much ginger beer.
Yeah. I've been knocking back that ginger beer.
In the club.
I literally just had a mental image of Ad lifting up his t-shirt next week and just like a big drawn-on six-pack.
Well, what I was thinking was, because he also says that the reason that he's so popular and continues to be so popular is because on his Instagram page, it's all him. He's not employing somebody else, some 20-year-old, to write sentences to sound like Fiddy. It's all him. So what I was thinking was on our Instagram page, the FPL Experiment one, we could maybe do an album cover where we draw some abs on, get it on Instagram. Podcast would blow up.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think you're taking away some incredible stuff from this book. And I think it's making us all better people.
We're hustling in 2021. You wait till they open the clubs back up. We're going to be... Our girlfriends and wives need to watch out. We're going to be hot. Three pimps walking in. Mm.
Going to get gingered off my nerve.
That was a very clever play on words. I don't know if it was more clever than you wanted it to be, Nick. That...
No, all intentional.
All intentional, fine. Right, great. We've come to the end of the podcast. We've got through the hangover. Anything else to add, guys, at the end of the pod?
I'm intrigued to see the outcome of the differential of the week jingle. That, for me, has the potential to be quite embarrassing for Greg, but we'll see.
Love to hear your feedback. Let us know at FPL Experiment. We'll post a team on Instagram and Twitter. Let us know what you think about differential of the week. And good luck for game week 20. We got through it, lads.
Well done. Did you record it?
Yeah, I've recorded it as well.
Oh, phew.